Welcome, college hockey fans throughout the nation. You're listening to the best college hockey radio show in the country. At least we think so. Big Eddie, Crazy Eddie Christian, he has worked this weekend, so we have almost is the nickname, Dave Morinville sitting in, the legend. Got Coach Dean Wilson, Doc Phil Johnson, and I'm just the wise one. 701-293-9000. 701-293-9000. We want to hear from you. We're going to be talking in this first segment about the University of North Dakota winning the Penrose Cup, the league championship in the NCHC, talking about the Big Ten CCHA, and the Olympic gold medal won by the United States of America. I'm really sorry, Wills.
Get the chirping out of the way. We're going to chirp every we're going to chirp at the end, you know, and I'm looking at
chirp,
this
chirp.
I'm looking at this fancy USA coat, you know, and I know Dave's career, but did you get that at Burlington or Kmart? Where'd you get that at?
Hey, Doc Phil, I should tell you, Dave Morinville's wearing a USA hockey jersey and walked into the station with his USA hockey red, white, and blue jacket, and Wilson almost had a heart attack. And when Dave came into the studio, Doc, he put it right on a chair right in front of Wills, so Wills has to stare at that.
God, I hope you can still fit that hat the next time you win the gold when you're 111, Dave.
Doc,
hey, congratulations, eh? Congratulations.
Doc, let's talk Olympic hockey.
I mean, what a run it was. And, you know, to be perfectly honest, I thought it was grit versus skill, and grit won out. You know, going in, we all knew that Canada had a lot of skill. But as we all know, and I think the coaches there in the studio will agree, not all the time with all the skill do you win. I mean, when you have a grit-filled team, which I think they did, those guys will get on the same rope, and they will tow in the same direction, and they will fight for each other and fight for their guy next to them on the bench. And that's what you want. You want that team to get a little better each game, and I think they did. You know, they did what you had to do to be a successful tournament team, in my opinion. And I was just more than happy to see them win. I thought that was just a real monumental achievement for USA Hockey and all those players and staff involved.
You know what? I can't agree more, Phil. One of the things, a couple things, you know, Billy Guerin took a lot of heat going in because he didn't take Caulfield or Robertson. And take a look at it, though, how that turned out in spades by having Trocheck and Miller, who are kind of the ones that they shouldn't have taken, they said. PK, 100% penalty kill in that whole tournament. I mean, that is an incredible feat to do. And hats off to Billy Guerin. And at the end of the day, I was really happy with the respect that Matthews got after playing in Toronto and getting the heat that he's gotten. And now he's captain of the team. What it showed, what a great two-way player he was. And then Connor Hollebeck, the goalie, how he stood on his head to win a game where he's taken some heat up in Winnipeg for never going far in the playoffs. So I was really, really happy for those two players especially. And I just thought they were very classy in their victory. The Hughes brothers, you know, I mean, they, just the way they handle their interviews and stuff like that. And now they're going to be on Saturday Night Live and on Jimmy Fallon on Monday night. I mean, it's a really cool thing the way they handle it. Besides the victory, which, as we know, they almost didn't happen. Everyone was saying the U.S. and Canada, it almost didn't happen. Both teams had to go into overtime.
Well, sales for mouth guards went down like 60%. All these youth kids want to have their tooth knocked out. Put your mouth guard back in, boys, right, Doc? You said you see more chiclets getting knocked out when you work than anything.
Yeah, right.
Doc, you're a former goaltender, and Dave, you also yourself. Both of you, Doc, you first. Have you seen a goaltending performance at any level like Connor Hellebuck had for the U.S. team in the championship game?
You know, in that particular situation, no. But in the Stanley Cup, yeah, I think there's been a few that you can go back and say, wow, look at, you know, the saves that were done. But in that particular venue, at that particular stage, with the whole world looking on, not just North America, but the whole world looking on and making those saves. And let's face it, Connor Hellebuck was not you know, lighting up the NHL here going in. He was very, very capable, doing very well, but he really wasn't lighting it up like, you know, some other goaltenders were. You know, the kid from Anaheim who played for Czech Republic, I thought he was really good, and I thought he's going to be a problem. But, you know, in the end, like I said, I think grit won out. These guys just battled and battled and battled, and they finally got over the hump, so to speak, by just buckling down, playing for each other, and doing their job. And you know, you make a good statement too, Dave. Dave, you know, Guerin took a lot of heat, but they knew what they wanted. They knew what they were up against with Canada. They figured they were going to have to battle Canada, and they had to match them. It's interesting that a lot of those guys on that team had won previous gold medals, whether that's in the World Championships or whether that's in the World Juniors. And so they picked guys that knew what it had to happen to get to that level, to get to that gold. And I think that was really smart on the coaching staff to do that. So, you know, kudos to them. I don't know if that really was thought about. They just wanted the best players. They wanted a good, gritty team. And, you know, congrats to all of them. They did a great job.
30-second answer, Dave.
Well, I was just going to say, I'd like to give a shout-out to this Cremwoody kid from Bismarck Legacy. State record, Central shot 70 shots on net on this guy. They could have beat Legacy 20-0. This guy was on fire.
Dave, I'm going to back off and go back to Wilson here. Bretta Curl from Bismarck played on the USA Women's Gold Medal Championship team. We tried to get her on our show this week. The schedules did not work out. We're trying to get on some other Olympians, famous family members, and schedules did not work out for this weekend. So that is our goal going forward. But, Wills, the women's.
Yes, I was just going to say the women. Think about that. USA Hockey, women and men.
Well, there is no upset there. If you throw that out for us, my Canadian boys, they dominated. And I knew when they went on 3-on-3, we were in trouble because their strength, speed, their Canada went for an older team. The United States had a highly skilled team. They killed everybody the whole tournament, the whole Olympics.
But, Dave, three North Dakota women have won the Olympic gold medal. That's
pretty cool.
Britta Curl, Jocelyn Lamoureux, Monique Lamoureux.
Right.
That's absolutely incredible. Now, coming up in the second period, we have Mike Lemoine, the voice of North Dakota hockey. Will talk with us about last night's win. We'll visit about the team, 701-293-9000. North Dakota, 5-3 victory on the road against Western Michigan. Five players scoring separate goals. First goal scored by Sam Lorella from Moorhead. What a player he is developing, isn't he?
He sure has. He's coming a long way. And you know what? There's a lot of upsets last night in college hockey. When you take a look at some of the scores, I mean, it's going to be an unbelievable Final 16.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And we will be talking more about the scores, more about North Dakota, the Gophers beating Michigan on Thursday night. Michigan also getting an open net goal to do a 4-3 victory of the Gophers last night. So the Gophers had a good weekend also, and we'll talk about other teams in the top 16 in the Big Ten, the NCHC and the CCHA, coming up in the third period. But once again, we have Mike Lemoine, former North Dakota hockey player, national champion for the Fighting Sioux, and the current voice of North Dakota Hockey Radio. 701-293-9000. Let's hear from you. We'll be back with more of the hockey guys right after this.
Thunder Bay boy, Thunder Bay boy.
There you go.
Welcome back to the hockey guys. We have the pleasure to visit with Mike Lemoine, a former University of North Dakota hockey player from, if my memory serves me right, 1985 through 1989, a national championship star, and the current color commentator for North Dakota Hockey Radio Network. Mike Lemoine, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
Oh, excellent. We're doing fantastic after North Dakota won the Penrose last night. Doc Johnson, go ahead.
Hey, Mike. First of all, thanks so much for your wonderful work on the radio all season. But, you know, now the season is just starting. And I want to get your opinion because you've made the whole trip through the NCHC now. You've seen all the teams. You've seen all the players. What's your feeling as we enter into the most important season, which is that second season, the playoffs? Where do you think one, North Dakota will stand, but also what are the teams to really watch out for that could throw a wrinkle into this whole playoff system?
Oh, wow, great question, Doc. And first of all, welcome back from across the pond. I hope you had a safe trip.
I did.
What teams to look at? Well, obviously, at this time of year, you focus on one team, right? You focus on yourself and how you prepare and get ready for any and all opponents. But I am biased in this, and I say that the NCHC is the most difficult collegiate league to play in, and they're all dangerous. I guess the only one that's not going to be dangerous is who ends up at number nine. Other than that, on any given night, we can look and see that, you take a shift or two off and you can find yourself down two goals. So preparation needs to be defined as you look upon yourself and get ready to go, take care of your own room, and know that your body of work through the season is now going to be front and center.
Hey, congratulations. You've had a heck of a career. Now you're in the broadcast booth, so now you're on the real smart end. You never make a mistake sitting up there, do you? But anyway, I just wanted to ask a question of, I mean, when you take a look at the playoffs and you take a look at even the scores last night in college hockey, holy Hannah, I was just saying earlier, we're going to have an unbelievable college hockey tournament, playoff, and everything else. Do you agree with that, Mike?
I agree 100%. The skill level is so high. The ability of all the teams, it's such a good product. I reflect as I'm sitting, I have a little time off sitting up the booth, and I'm thinking 40 years ago and what the game was like, and we thought it was really, really good. But to see how these players today develop and train and the commitment that they have, it is phenomenal. And the product is so fun to watch. Last night, it was my first experience with the Lunatics here in Western Michigan, the Lawson Lunatics.
Yep.
Let me tell you something, guys. That is worth the price of the ticket right there. But, wow, what a game it was last night. And everybody in that rink, if you're a true hockey fan, that was some impressive hockey.
You know, Lawson Lunatics is like the UND section in the old Ralph, where they're right on top of the opponents. And for North Dakota to go in on the road, especially in Western Michigan, in Lawson Arena, where it's difficult to play with those fans right on top of the opponents, that was a 60-minute beginning-to-end victory for North Dakota. Five different players scoring. That just shows the depth of North Dakota's team, but also the depth that is needed for a college team to be successful nowadays.
Yeah, I think you're spot on, Jeff. The depth of this North Dakota team, you look at the forwards, you have four lines that just attack. And not only do they attack in the offensive zone, they take away your time and space through the neutral zone. And when you get into the defensive zone, just a well-defined system that works with each other, keeps the puck to the outside, and it's been fun to watch them grow. I mean, this is a team with 15 new players, a young team. There's a lot of questions that were being asked at the beginning of this season. Heck, coaching staff, what's this new general manager role going to be like at North Dakota? And the pieces have just been put in place. We've talked a lot about this year about the process and working towards a product, and I think last night was really – the process showing what kind of product it could put in place. And it was a complete 60 minutes last night. Fun to watch. It was a great game.
Hey, Mike, Dean Wilson here. And It's good to hear your voice. A couple of things. You know, we talked about the parity now. You know, like it seemed the olden days. I'm going to say your 87 team, I thought it was a cut above the rest. You mean you had just a talented squad, crazy good, still one of my most favorite groups of the history of UND. But just that parity, you know, no one seems to be sweeping anymore. And, you know, now you start running into the playoffs, you got to be more consistent. You got to take those games.
Yeah, you're spot on, Coach. I think when you look back, there was, I'm just going to say it, there's weekends that with that group in 87, we could take the weekend off and still be very, very successful with the likes of Tony Herkus and Bob Joyce. And, oh, yeah, we kind of had a decent goalie in net, too, with Ed Belfour. And,
that doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't, right? You look back and, oh, Ed's got that one, and he did most of the time. But the parity in the game now, it is – I was talking to Coach Jackson last night and just the whole recruiting process, and obviously there's still the blue-chip players. But the difference between the blue-chip players and maybe that next year is so close, where there used to be such a large discrepancy, and the game is healthy. It's in a great place. Is there things that need to be figured out? Possibly with NIL and the such, I would imagine so. But it's an entertaining game. It's a highly skilled game, and it's healthy. It's so fun to watch.
I got to ask you another question, Mike, kind of switching gears a little bit. You just don't see Red River and Central in a championship game in North Dakota. You know, but you live that, right? So how's that vibe? What are you thinking about that real quick? And
yeah, it's, you know, I've had so many people ask, you know, why is it Grand Forks, Red River, and Central and always playing for the championship? And I say always because I'm rubbing it in a little bit to that Fargo group down there, Coach. You know, I have to
easy now, easy.
I know. I got a quick story. I have to tell this. When I got your text last night, I just thought, oh, I got to tell this about Coach Wilson. So,
Keep it clean.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, 100%. It was just, this shows the determination and grit of Coach Wilson right here. So he's new into coaching. He's at Red River. Fresh. Were you still in school, Coach?
Yeah, I was. I think I was about an eighth year senior. No, that's like a Bison football. That's like a Bison football player.
So, We're having our high school practice, and we might have been short one defenseman or whatever. So Coach Wilson jumps in, no shin pads, no helmet, no nothing, and he's going to take a shift at defense. And forward's coming down, and all of a sudden the big stick comes up for a slap shot, and he goes down and blocks the shot. No shin pads, no nothing. And at that point, I thought, wow. That's how they raise them in Thunder Bay, huh?
I still got a bruise there.
Yeah, wow.
Say, Mike Lemoyne, voice of North Dakota hockey, we've got about a minute and a half left, but I'd like to have you give us about 15 seconds, if you would, on two local players, Sam Lorella in his development and what Ben Strinden has meant to this year's North Dakota hockey team.
Well, my takeaway with Sam is from the first time he stepped on the ice this year to where he's now has been a constant progression. The confidence that he's playing right now, he jumped into that play, gets the first goal last night. Wasn't rebuked, thank goodness, because he's had a couple of them taken away. The maturity in that young man's game has been just a constant growth. It's fun to watch. Ben Strinden, I can't give you enough time about that, the character of that young man. And that can kind of segue really quick into the entire team. This is a group, through the leadership, that just really enjoy being around each other.
Well, Mike Lemoyne, thank you for joining the hockey guys this morning. Doc Phil, Coach Wills, almost Mournville. We say almost because he comes in and fills in, so he's almost one of us.
But make sure you say congratulations to the staff.
Yes, would you
do that?
I sent a text to Coach Jackson last night. So, Mike Lemoyne, thank you for joining the hockey guys this morning. And we're going to get you on again as we progress into the NCHC playoffs and the NCAA playoffs. And we'll be back with the hockey guys right after this. Welcome back to the hockey guys. after last night's victory in University of North Dakota, winning the Penrose Cup. In the locker room, there were four people that gave post-game comments. First was Coach Jackson, Captain Bennett Zamolik, Fargo's Pride, Ben Strinden, and Moorhead's Pride, Sam Lorella. And let's hear the post-game comments from four of those four individuals.
What was that game like to, you know, from your perspective?
Yeah, it was like we thought it would be. It was, you know, hard, fast, you know, tight checking game. I was just really happy with how we played a full game. You know, we know you couldn't take any of those lulls that we've had a little bit of issues with. And that was a strong 60 minutes. I thought we did a good job of kind of knowing when we had to advance pucks and kind of put it ahead and when we had a chance to kind of make some plays and tack off the rush. So just, yeah, just proud of the boys about how they stepped up in a really tough environment and played a real strong, solid game.
What's it like to win the Penrose?
Yeah, it never gets old. You know, I know we're always measured around here on national championships, but very proud of the 24-game grind that it takes to win this trophy. And, you know, our guys just embodied the things that we talked about, you know, our culture piece that we talked about at the start of the year. These guys have kind of, it's one thing to have a meeting about it or talk about it, but to kind of bring a workmanlike attitude and have that kind of long-term grit, have being a team-first guy, being selfless, and we just had a lot of character guys in there that kind of lived it day to day, and the process worked, and these guys should be proud of winning that trophy.
What was it like to see Bennett lift that first? I know it hasn't been the easy two years for Bennett.
I think for me that's probably the coolest thing of the night, is just a guy like that that's been through so much adversity, so much mental and physical pain, and just his grind and his battle. He's he's the heartbeat of our team, and for him to get some nice reward after all that kind of adversity that he's kind of battled through is telling about what kind of guy he is.
Why did this team, you 15 new guys, why were they able to win the league with that amount of turnover?
I thought we could have a good team. I didn't know it was going to come together that quickly, you know, and I when we kind of talked as a staff about that, I think it kind of goes to the fact that we put a lot of time and effort in getting character kind of team first guys, and when you're, you know, that's that old thing, when you're not worried about yourself and you're kind of worried about the group, I think that's probably what allowed the guys to kind of really bond early. You know, they put a lot of work in the summer. I thought we did a lot of good kind of team building stuff in the fall. They went through some hard stuff, and I believe that's kind of why, just the kind of character and the quality of the people in the room, and they were willing to kind of put their own agendas aside and kind of play for the our program and the university.
How would you describe them off the ice? Like, I mean, they're...
They have a lot of fun together. Like, there's a lot of joy in that locker room. Those guys have fun together. They hang out together away from the rink. They're a team. They battle together, and, you got to have character to win, but you got to have characters, and I think there's a lot of characters in that room.
Yeah, the flight attendants have a tough time getting them to sit down on the planes.
Yeah, they're not always rule followers, but there's a lot of guys that are character guys that play hard for the jersey.
I'm wondering, that goal, like 4-some minutes into the third period from Will, you're talking about keeping the foot in the gas and avoiding some of those goals. How important was that for your period?
Yeah, that was nice to kind of get a little breathing room, you know, and not be kind of or one mistake away from them tying it up. So, yeah, that was a big one, you know. Guys like Will Zellers with the high-end stick and kind of offensive instincts, you know, he kind of made a play out of nothing there, and that was a really nice kind of moment where you go, okay, we got a little leeway here, and we can just kind of play a little bit more free.
He had the upper hand to win the Penrose, but I'm wondering to never trail in this game, tied it the whole way. I wonder what that says about this group, to sort of command it the whole way.
Yeah, well, we really challenged our guys about, you know, how tough it was going to be, and we've had a little bit of inconsistency lately, and I just thought that it was challenge accepted, and the guys said, all right, let's go. We're getting into, you know, our playoff mode here, and they were prepared and ready. You know, we've had some games that, you know, our staff articulated over the years, we've had some games where you get on your back foot in this rink, and it's hard to get it going again, and we did a really good job, I think, of starting on time and, kind of dictating some of the play early, so that was a huge part of the game.
just to follow up on that, to get a win against the defending national champions in a top five battle, this is probably one of the hardest games you've played this year. What did you maybe learn from a victory like this?
Yeah, that we are good enough. You know, I think there's early in the week I was talking quite a bit about Western, about what a challenge it was going to be, and then today I kind of flipped the switch a little bit, and as I was watching our team and going back and watching them, I said, hey, we chose you guys for this type of game. You know, we chose 200-foot players. We chose hard-nosed players. We chose tough players. We chose character guys. I said, you guys have what it takes in this rink. We've shown that we do. And I thought it was just a really good example of, their kind of heart and kind of care for each other to play the right way for 60. It was a great gut check, and I think, really proud.
And now you guys get to be at home for the NCHC tournament as long as you're in it.
Yeah, and I saw some of our players talk about that. Obviously, to win the trophy is exciting and kind of and cool. But this year, especially to be able to play in our rink in front of our fans all the way through is that's probably the biggest prize.
And you had a few fans that stick around. Yeah. To see the trophy.
Yeah. Our fans obviously travel and they're loyal and it's part of, I think, what makes our program special.
And what was like that game like tonight?
That was a gritty game. Very proud of the guys in there. This is a very hard team and place to play, so I'm very proud of the guys and our effort tonight.
What did it feel like to lift that Penrose for you?
Yeah, it was awesome. Getting back to it, especially winning it here. They took it from us last year, so that was pretty special for our team.
Why was this team able to do this with 15 new guys?
Yeah, I think it all starts with Jax, just believing in Jax, bringing in that coaching staff, just an unreal coaching staff, and then just the buy-in, the characters of the guys in the room. I would just say the resilience and everyone just buying in each and every day. It all starts with practice when we came in July, so I think just the resilience of the group and the buy-in of the group.
How would you describe this group to someone who's not around them and doesn't? What's it like to this group behind, in the locker room?
I'd say very special. Say everyone just gets along. It's a very special group. It's definitely hard to put into words, but I would just say, the number one thing is special, and hopefully we can keep it going.
Do you feel that this team is still building, or where's this team at right now?
Yeah, I would say for sure we keep building. We definitely want to mature with our full 60 minutes. Obviously, when the tournament comes around, it's the littlest mistake can cost you. So just trying to mature with our little details and just, sticking with the details.
This is probably your biggest challenge of the year, playing the defending national champs on the road like this. How did you think the guys responded?
Yeah, I thought we responded really good. I thought our start, we were ready to go. Second, I thought they pushed back, kind of got punched in the face a little bit, but I thought we responded great. After we get scored on a couple shifts later, we tried to hand them in the zone, and they scored a couple goals, and then, worked on our 5-on-6, and we were able to win the game.
What was just kind of the feeling when Max pulled that empty netter?
Relief. That was probably the slowest 15 minutes of... It felt like my life, but I was very relieved that Swanee put that one in.
Well, Ben, for starters, what was it like to play in that game?
It was awesome. I mean, they've got an unbelievable atmosphere here, and it feels really good. Obviously, last year they came to our barn and took the Penrose, so it feels good to kind of return the favor.
What's it like to win the Penrose title?
Yeah, I mean, it's the hardest regular season championship to win, in my opinion, so it's awesome. Obviously, it's not our end goal, but we're going to enjoy it for sure.
Why do you think this team, you have 15 new guys on this team. Why do you think this team is able to do this?
Yeah, I think we just love each other. We love coming to the rink each day. I think when you have a team like that, it shows on the ice too, and it definitely is this year. Our coaching staff's done an unbelievable job, and just top to bottom, we're close and we're a family.
How would you describe the team? You guys talk about how close you are and how you hang out. How would you describe the team in the locker room and stuff?
Yeah, to be honest, we're just kind of a bunch of idiots. We have a lot of fun together. We laugh a lot. But also, when the time comes, we're serious and we get the job done.
What do you maybe learn in a game like this, taking down a team that won the national championship last year, top five matchup? This was one of your better wins this year.
Yeah, for sure. And I just think shift by shift, every single guy's got to bring it. And that's what we rely on. We don't really rely on one single guy or one line or one defenseman. We all contribute. Every single line, every single D. Every goalie brings something to the table, and I think that's what makes us special.
What was the emotion when Max scored the empty netter?
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, it's something we've worked hard for sure, and it was a cool moment.
What was it like seeing Bennett hoist the trophy? You know, he's had a tough 2 years.
Yeah. No, I'm proud of him. He's the definition of resilience, so it's really, really cool to see that, and I know we're not done.
Says about you guys that you never trailed in this one.
Yeah.
Tie played the whole way. The control you guys had on this one.
Yeah. That? It's really important. I think we can do that to every team we play if we bring it every night. So that's something we pride ourselves on, and we did a good job of tonight.
Sam, how did it feel to get your first one?
Well, listen, that audio is going a little longer than we anticipated, and it's not going to fit in entirely for this period. So we'll play Sam Lorello's post-game comments after North Dakota won the Penrose last night, coming up after the break. Dave, your comments on the development of the Moorhead, Minnesota product, Sam Lorello. I just love this young man.
Well, you know, when you think about it, I mean, he left early and went to the national team, and he was playing there, but there was times he was sitting out. And I think as a player, you learn a lot by sitting out, and he grew as a man, and you take a look, he kind of knew he was the odd man out going up to UND, and look at him now, and it's just credit to him and his family of just character, not giving up, always looking at the next day, getting better, and that says a lot about him.
You know, I think that says a lot about athletes nowadays, if you want to be successful. Well, listen, we'll be back with the hockey guys to hear from Sam Lorello right after this break. Well, thank you, Michael, and thank you for listening from Illinois. We have almost Dave Mournville. We say almost because he's almost a full-time hockey guy. Coach Dean Wilson, Doc Phil Johnson, and I'm the wise one. Well, after the game last night, North Dakota, after winning the Penrose Cup for the league championship in the NCHC, we heard from Sam Lorello, the proud product of Moorhead, Minnesota.
Sam, how did it feel to get your first one?
Yeah, it was good. Been waiting a long time for that one, so I'll finally see it going back in the net.
Yeah, the like four chances on that shift, it looks like.
Yeah, I know. I should have had like three goals that one shift.
What'd you think after the, you know, you had those three chances? Were you thinking about it at all, or what's it like to get another one like right after that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you just got to stay ready. Obviously, it's the NCHC, it's tough to score in, and I just knew it was coming, and just stay, trust the process, and yeah, Strands made a great play over there, and luckily fell back into that. So,
what was going through your mind when it went in?
Yeah, just relief, a lot of weight off the shoulders, and yeah, just wanted to get a W there.
Yeah, what is it like to win the Penrose Cup in your first year here?
Yeah, it's really special. Obviously, one of our goals at the start of the year was win the Penrose, win our league. It's such a tough league to win in, and yeah, it was just a mature game from us tonight. I thought we'd like winning hockey, so.
Yeah, what was, I mean, that's a really good team. It was a tough game. What was it like to play in that one?
Yeah, they're a great team, obviously, national champions last year. They're a great program, and they play hard. And we knew it was going to be a pressure-based game, and I think we kind of took it to them. We went kind of right back at them, and we played hard, smart, simple, got pucks in, got pucks out, and finished our chances. So.
What an eloquent young man Sam Lorello is. Doc, you know Sam well. What's your impression on his development this year from, I would say, being an eighth line or an eighth spot defenseman to being one of the top five for North Dakota hockey right now?
And I couldn't agree more. I mean, I've followed him along with the National Team Development Program, obviously, but no, I think Sam's made huge strides, and I would anticipate that he'll make even bigger strides to be just a real top-line defenseman once his career is probably over at North Dakota. But you know, listening to those interviews, what was the one thing that you didn't hear? You didn't hear the word I. You didn't hear the word my goal or my statistics. It was all team. I mean, these guys have the focus on in the right direction. You can just tell. Yeah, they were great. They won the Penrose Cup. But that was just one goal. They've checked that box now. And you know they had several goals when they started this season with the Penrose Cup, then winning the regional championship, and then getting to the Final Four and winning the national championship. So I think they're in good stead. I think they're in a good place. it's going to be a tough game to play tonight because I'm sure there was a little bit of celebration last night, but hopefully not much. And hopefully they'll still stick to the game plan, and it would be just that much better if they could sweep the former national championships on their home ice with the Lunatics.
You know, just a thought as a coach, you change things up. You know, Phil and Dave, you're both goalies now. They got three goalies. You know, I got to give a shout out to Zach Sandy, you know.
100%.
I talked to Tim, you know, and he's a quality, and Dane Jackson, he's good in that locker room, and that's a tough role, you know, but do you put a different goalie in it? Do you go deeper in your bench with different players? I don't know. I mean, or do you just, you want to roll with it? You want to sweep them, you know? So just my thoughts about that for you guys, you know, what do you think?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's hard being a, you know, like Zach Sandy playing in that spot and being a team player. You've got to, but Phil made a great point. You got to be a team. I mean, if you have a bunch of guys just wanting for themselves and point things, you're not going to have success. And you take a look at the USA Olympic team, you could tell those guys really were pulling for each other, and you see them in their celebration. I think the reason Phil's not here is in Miami with the team partying down there with the champagne, probably.
But you know, you talk, I think about the brothers with USA, right?
Right.
I mean, you hate them, but they're your teammates. You got to love them, right? They got energy, you know, just like Marchand. You know, he's the same way. You know, you go, you look at him, oh, you hate to play against him, but he's a guy you want in that locker room and playing for
you. Team. You want in your team, just
exactly.
Like that.
And every year your team takes out a personality, good or bad, and you hope it has a good personality. Go ahead, Doc.
You know, I think the toughest thing for a coach to determine is when you have a big win like that and you're at the point in the season where you are, do you switch it up? Do you give other guys a little more of an opportunity? To me, I would say no. If you're on a roll, you want to keep that roll because the playoffs are just around the corner.
Well, I'll take a look at Herbie after USA, after they won that game. Yep. They had the toughest practice the next day before they played Finland.
Doc, you're right. My view is, are you sending the wrong message to your players?
Correct.
And do you want to make the wrong move and then end up getting a loss on the road and then going into the playoffs with a loss? It's going to be a tricky decision, actually, for Coach Jackson. And
Yes and no. I think he just keeps doing what he's doing. You
know, I agree, Phil. 100%,
I agree. 100%.
You just keep going. And if for some reason your starting goaltender gets lit up in the first period, say for three goals, okay, then make a switch. You know, then it's a reasonable thing to do. But I think I'm in the school and I've been around a lot of great coaches and I always ask them that. They go, no, you want to keep going the way that you are. You want to keep your momentum. You want to keep things going in the right direction. And if you got to make a change during the game, that's when you make it.
Herbie, well, can say, keep your foot on the gas pedal.
Well, you know, I used to say, if it is not broke, don't fix it. And I did a couple of experiments. You know, you sneak the fourth line out and they get scored on. And I go, and my assistant's looking at me like, good call, Wilson. You know, and if it's not broke, don't fix it. Pedal to the metal. You keep her going, and I think we all agree on that.
Yeah, I think you got to. Yeah. I mean, players like to be – they might not admit it, but they like to be pushed. They get pushed out of their comfort zone, and that's the fine line in being a coach. And you know, and that's what it takes. You have to push them out of their comfort zone, and they're going to be upset with you sometimes, but you know what? You're getting the best out of them by doing it that way.
And you earn your right to play under pressure.
Right.
You earned it, you know. And good players want to play with good players and earn it. Any thoughts? Other thoughts, Doc?
Well, I think this is a really important game for Western Michigan, to be honest. And I think they will come out all guns blazing. They were maybe a little bit embarrassed on their home ice last night. They may have a little chip on their shoulder. So North Dakota cannot take the night off. They're gonna come raring at them, and I think it'll be interesting to see how they respond. This is a really good game to test your character too, because this shows you is the team really solidified? Is it really solid and dedicated for that ultimate goal? And you know, they're not just satisfied with winning the big shiny Penrose Cup.
100%.
I think it'll be interesting to see how they come out tonight.
Yeah, it will be. It will be.
You know, a interesting battle tonight is going to be Denver versus Arizona. Denver knocked off Arizona last night. They're the fifth-ranked team,
yep.
But they're third right now in the NCHC. If Denver wins tonight and North Dakota wins tonight, then you have a tie between Denver and Western Michigan for that second spot in the NCHC with home ice advantage. That means the third-ranked team would have to, if North Dakota continues on in the NCHC playoffs, that third-ranked team is going to have to come through North Dakota to get there.